Men were appointed to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendour of his holiness. And what were they singing? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.
Thanks for joining us on Mission 66, your connection to the Bible teaching of TWR in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau. Today, we're in the book of 2 Chronicles, a snapshot of the divided kingdom of Israel. To follow along with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu, you can go to mission66.org and find a free study guide to download. Now let's get into today's lesson.
It's a pleasure to have you alongside us as we journey in the Bible, God's eternal word. And we do so a chapter at a time, touching upon the important points of each. Now, today we continue through the second book of Chronicles, which narrates the ancient history of Israel, more specifically Judah, the southern kingdom. And today we're going to learn from chapters 17 through to 20 from our teacher, John Matthews, who presents the theme, A Good King and a Bad King.
Esther, thank you very much, and a very warm welcome to this latest episode of Mission 66. And yeah, we see here the main focus of these chapters is King Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, was his father's successor, and he actually made Israel stronger. He ruled for about 25 years, and scholars suggest that he was in this position as the king of Judah from 873 through to 848 BC, is before Christ. And King Jehoshaphat is then evaluated in the Bible, more specifically in Chronicles, as a very good king. Why? Because of his devotion to God. For example, he sent Levites throughout the land of Judah to teach the people about the law of God. And the Lord God rewarded him for his attitude and gave him a lot of peace and tranquility in his surroundings in the international scenario. Verse 4 says that he sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. This is the northern kingdom, of course, and it says he had great wealth and honour. And his officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah, they went through Judah to instruct the cities of Judah, along with a group of Levites, strengthening the faith in the one true God. And the chapter says, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah, so that they did not go to war against Jehoshaphat. You see that shield of God, that protection. And so the book of Chronicles shows us God's intervention in the history of Israel. And it focuses on the kings that acted in accordance with the covenant. The Bible also shows us that despite all the problems in the history of the people, that God was always watching. And he was, especially in Judah, bringing up devoted men and kings that blessed the nation. Now, if on the one hand we have here Jehoshaphat, the good king, well, on the other, we have a bad king. In chapter 18, we see the prophet Micaiah speaking against the family of Ahab. We know the book of Chronicles is talking about the community of Judah after the exile. And our listeners here on Mission 66 may remember that Ahab was king of the kingdom of the north of Israel. So he's not from Judah, kingdom of the south. He's the king of Israel. Right, so what's going on here? Why does Ahab show up here? Well, we discover that there was this proximity, a marriage agreement between the family of Jehoshaphat, the good king, and Ahab. And the Bible says he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. I can sense you wincing. What's going to happen next? This is not great news. And the reason it's not great news is that Ahab represents real opposition to the one true God. Paganism is strong and radical in the kingdom of the north and threatens faith in God. So the Bible here in Chronicles begins showing us this polarization, this contrast between the good king and the bad king. And the Bible says that a few years later, Jehoshaphat went to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle to receive Jehoshaphat and his men. And Jehoshaphat seeks this alliance with Ahab. Now, this alliance happened because his son Jehoram was married to Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab. Now, this woman, Athaliah, was evil, extremely evil. She was perverse, a perverse queen, according to the historical accounts that we have in the Bible. But we see Jehoshaphat agreeing with Ahab here to set off on this military campaign against the Arameans, the Syrians, in the city of Ramoth-Gilead. But this alliance was going to cause real problems. And it might surprise us as well, because they seek these prophets to tell them what would happen, prophets to bring the word of God to them. And here Micaiah, son of Imlah, is presented, and he's called to go before Ahab. And he makes it clear that he didn't want anything to do with Micaiah, that is Ahab. And the Bible says the prophets would say to Ahab, "Look, attack Ramoth-Gilead, be victorious, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." These are the prophets that Ahab had on tap, and they tickled his ears. They told him what he wanted to hear. Micaiah, though, says something different. And what happens? What's Ahab's reaction? Well, because he's not tickling Ahab's ears and saying what he wants him to say, Ahab gets really angry and irritated, mad with him. Verse 16 says, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" So Ahab is really upset after hearing these words of prophecy from Micaiah, and he's angry. So the Lord says to the prophet Micaiah that a deceiving spirit is in the mouths of Ahab's prophets, the prophets of King Ahab, and they were all deceived, and that was going to prove his downfall. And Ahab would ultimately die for being one of the most perverse kings who went up against God himself and represented the greatest rupture with a covenant that God had with his people. And the Bible says, "So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes.' So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. And when the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, 'This is the king of Israel.' So they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God drew them away from him. For when the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel, they stopped pursuing him." So effectively, Ahab has tried to put Jehoshaphat in a situation where he would lose his life, because the rivalry, even for geographical reasons, was greater between Syria and Israel in the north. It says here, "But somebody drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the breastplate and the scale armor. And the king told the chariot driver, 'Wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded.' And all day long the battle raged, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot, facing the Arameans until evening, and then at sunset he died." So we see that God is in control of history, and this evil king dies in a shocking way, in a kind of battle that he himself insisted on fighting, and he ends up dying because of his inadequate an irresponsible attitude. And it so happens that with this circumstance at hand, we see that the prophet Jehu is going to be sent to the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, the one we call the good king here. And the Bible says that when Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely to his palace in Jerusalem, Jehu, the seer, the son of Hanani, went out to meet him and said to the king, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is on you. There is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asherapoles and have set your heart on seeking God. But because of this rash and irresponsible alliance with Ahab, God brings forth this word of judgment through the prophets. And then we see in chapter 19 that Jehoshaphat creates this good administrative structure during his reign. The chapter says he appointed judges in the land, in each of the fortified cities of Judah. Also, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests, and heads of Israelite families to administer the law of the Lord and to settle disputes. So there's a wisdom in what he's doing. And here, once again, the Levites are pointed out as we reach chapter 20. We see another battle where King Jehoshaphat is going to have to fight. This time there's this sort of union, this coalition of Ammonites, Moabites, and other people who march against the kingdom of Judah. And Jehoshaphat the king prays and he asks God for deliverance. And it's interesting because he asks based on that which God had promised to Abraham. And here we see this clear reference to the absolute and complete trust in God. And so we read about this man called Jahaziel. He's a Levite who prophesied that the battle would be won with the help of the Lord. And the Levites here worshipped and praised God with psalms and music. And as they're praising God, the Lord answers their prayers and he delivers Judah from their enemies. And isn't it interesting to see what happens next here in chapter 20? Because it says that after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Imagine winning this battle with great music and celebration." And what were they singing? "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." The love that God has in his covenant is pointed out in a special way. And the story becomes famous, so much so that the Bible recalls them gathering in one place to praise the Lord, and that place was the Valley of Beraka. Beraka in Hebrew means blessing. It shows us in a real way, an objective way, a concrete way, that the great blessing that God had granted his people in this battle. The nations recognized the God of Israel. They recognized that God had given them victory. And they respect King Jehoshaphat, who had great peace in the land. And the reign of Jehoshaphat, well, it will come to an end. And here in chapter 20, we have a final evaluation of his reign. Jehoshaphat reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. He followed the ways of his father Asa, but he was not able to destroy all idolatry, according to verse 33. Therefore, we see the people rereading their history, observing how God, with his grace, his goodness, and his power, sustained the nation during those difficult years when there was a good king and a bad king.
This is Mission 66, and we're here with our teacher, John Matthews, who is shedding some light on these chapters that we're reading from 2 Chronicles, chapter 17 through to 20. And, you know, friend, perhaps you do remember a time when, you know, the Bible was tough for you to understand, and somebody came alongside you to help you understand it better. Well, I can tell you that I've been there. There are thousands, and I mean thousands, of listeners in other countries who rely on Mission 66 for their Bible teaching. But they also need someone to come alongside them financially to keep the sound Bible teaching that you've come to rely upon on the air each day. So would you please take a moment right now to ask the Lord what he would have you give as a thank you offering for using Mission 66 in your life and thousands of others too. Well, you can simply log on to mission66.org to give your generous gift right now. Whether that's a monthly gift or simply one time, Please don't let this opportunity pass you by. Mission 66 is entirely listener supported, and we depend on friends like you to stay on the air. So please visit mission66.org to give your generous gift right now. Well, Don, look, we've heard quite a bit of adventure. We've heard about the battles and the wars. There's clearly a lot going on here. So let's start by discussing King Jehoshaphat. Why would he team up and have this friendly relationship with Ahab, this wicked king, especially when his own kingdom was in a time of peace and prosperity? Why would he make such a dangerous decision?
Well, we see, don't we, Esther, in the Bible, that even the great kings of Judah, the men of God, were still human and frail and many times made bad decisions. And this is exactly what happened to Jehoshaphat. He got too close to Ahab because of this marriage between his son and the daughter of Ahab. And Jehoshaphat, you know, is someone who had good relationships in the international scenario. And that was one way that he decided to maintain his political connections and approval. But here there is a cost, because he prefers to have an alliance with Ahab in order to try and bring down a common enemy, that they were the Arameans in Ramoth-Gilead. But this alliance was to prove fatal, to prove harmful to him. And he was reprehended by God as a result, because Ahab was somebody who was just bent on evil. And that, for a long time, Jehoshaphat was unable to see.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think the worst part is that Jehoshaphat, he nearly lost his life in this battle. And Ahab, interestingly, had this plan to go disguised as a regular soldier into battle, which I think was totally unheard of back then. It was unusual. What do you think he was thinking in doing this? I know he even said to Jehoshaphat, "No, keep that outfit on. You look great. Don't change. Everything looks good." I mean, what was his plan? What was Ahab planning with all of this?
Yeah, it's a proper stitch up, isn't it? This, it's Ahab trying to put Jehoshaphat in the line of fire. And the Bible indirectly here shows us what Ahab was like. He had a lot of problems with the Arameans, a lot more than Jehoshaphat. And he's going to get into this battle with the intention that the enemies believe that Jehoshaphat, in fact, is the king of Israel. And we find this story in the book of Kings and here in Chronicles as well. And the passages, interestingly, have a small difference, because Chronicles emphasizes more that the Lord delivered him, whilst in Kings he says, "No, I am not the king of Israel." Now, Ahab already had the divine word that he would not escape and he would not be victorious in the battle. And so he despised the words of the prophet Micaiah. So he tries to manipulate the situation, putting his ally at risk. So Ahab, this was pure treachery on his part, and it backfired. Because what do we read and what did we read? We read that Jehoshaphat cried out to God, and God delivered him from Ahab, this treacherous so-called ally.
Yeah. Well, John, seeing as we are talking about Ahab, I think we do remember what happened after this. So is it possible to have things happen by chance in the Bible, considering we know about God being in control of all things? And I ask this because how is it that someone just drew the bow at random?
Yeah, look, when the Bible says this happened at random by chance, the author is actually saying, look at what chance caused here. Look at what happened to Ahab. But why did this happen? Well, the prophecy had already been given, and Ahab was trying to do everything that he could to try to manipulate his way out of the situation, to try to find a way out of what was already set, the prophecy. And still, he was killed by chance or at random. So what seemed random to those present was anything but random to God. And the prophecy, the certain outcome predicted by God, came about by means of something that appeared random. And that, Esther, is in fact God's sovereignty.
Oh, praise God. It's so awesome to see his will coming to fruition. And, you know, just as you were talking about prophecies, it got me thinking after 2 Chronicles 18:33, at the start of chapter 19, we meet this prophet Jehu. And before him, there was the prophet Micaiah. So who were these lesser known prophets, and why were they so important at this point in history?
Yeah, it's a good question, Esther, because we have prophets in the Bible that we know an awful lot about. And sometimes they are described as the literary prophets. But the truth is that prophecies were extremely important during the time of the monarchy, and indeed during the time of the decadence of the monarchy, because the prophets were people who were called directly by God. They were guardians, effectively, of the divine word, guardians of the covenant. And so they would always show up to bring the message from God. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because Micaiah, who's in the kingdom of the north, well, Ahab hates him, but yet he has the courage to deliver the message from God that ends up becoming truth and reality. Of course it does, because it comes from God. So it shows us that God is still here bringing forth his divine word, even in what seem like moments of utter and total apostasy. And actually, Jehu is going to be of great importance, especially when we get to reading about Elisha.
Well, that certainly gives us quite a bit to look forward to, John. And I have to say that this was a brilliant breakdown of these chapters of 2 Chronicles. Thank you again for your insights. But I think let's get to our summary to wrap up what we've read today.
Yeah, let's do that. Now, today then on Mission 66, we were looking at 2 Chronicles, chapters 17 to 20, with the theme, an unequal yoke. King Jehoshaphat of Judah, a faithful ruler he was, who sought the Lord and led his people back to true worship. And he earned favor from God and prosperity as a result. He destroyed idol worship, taught God's laws, relied on God in crises, leading Judah to victory against overwhelming odds and enemies through prayer and fasting. However, his alliance with King Ahab and King Ahaziah of Israel bring upon him and his people great trouble. His son's marriage to Athaliah, Ahab's wicked daughter, would later result in tragedy for Judah. Jehoshaphat's partnership with Ahab in battling endangers his own life, and his venture with Ahaziah also fails because of God's judgment. And so it seems that Jehoshaphat doesn't learn that much from his mistakes, because he repeatedly forms these unequal yokes, perhaps, I don't know, in his desire to please and for connection, human connection. And the narrative emphasizes the importance of seeking God's guidance in all things, and avoid at all cost compromising relationships, whether they be marriage, business, or church leadership relationships. Jehoshaphat's story also illustrates God's sovereignty, as seen in Ahab's prophesied death through this random arrow being shot at nobody in particular. Well, ultimately, Jehoshaphat's victories came when he trusted God alone, teaching us to rely fully on God, choose partnerships wisely, and remember that ultimately God's word is true. And what does he say? He works all things according to plan, to the good of those who put their trust and their faith in him.
And it is on those wise words that we leave you for today's Mission 66. But we are looking forward to being with you next time as we go further into the book of 2 Chronicles. Friend, we trust that you've enjoyed your time. And from myself, Esther, John, and our entire team, may God bless you. This is Mission 66.
Let me remind you to head on over to mission66.org to download your study guide. It's free. Dive deeper into the Bible teaching of John Matthews and learn how it all relates to your Christian walk. Tag along with John and Esther on our Bible road trip, episode by episode. Your study guide's waiting for you at mission66.org. That's where you can also post your questions or make a comment, and even help out with a donation to keep Mission 66's heart beating around the world. Hop on over to mission66.org. Mission 66 is a partnership of TWR and the ministry of Dr. Luis Seau.